Any family that would like to come forward is fine to join us. Oh my goodness. Wow. Are you real, Harper May? Are you real? Well, okay, we better do this quick while she's asleep. Okay, if we could have the slides, please. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through the water and the Spirit. All this is given to us without price. And today, Alex and Amber Brown present their daughter, their beautiful daughter, Harper May Brown, for a holy baptism. So, Alex and Amber, I do have this question to ask of you. Will you nurture Harper May in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And if you will, your response is, we will.
We will.
Please pray with me while we have the blessing of the water. Most blessed Father, we give you thanks over this water you have provided. And blessed through your Holy Spirit, we recall the baptism of Jesus Christ and the anointing of our Lord through your Spirit. We understand through our baptism, we grow to know Jesus. And one day, convicted of our sin, we become ready to proclaim him as Savior. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless Harper May, who receives this water now. May she be clothed in righteousness and grow in your love and grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. And what name is given this child?
Harper May Brown.
Harper May, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May you grow to be a faithful disciple in Jesus Christ our Lord this day and forevermore. Amen. My favorite part. She'll come back. You know, we did just have a new grandson a few weeks ago. They will meet. Welcome, Asbury Methodist Church, to the newest member of this family. She's already learned to sleep when the preacher talks. Okay, you laughed a little too loud there. Honey, I'm telling you, nothing sweeter, nothing sweeter. At one point, you were this small. I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it? So sweet. You did good.
Thank you.
All right, there you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Congregation, I ask you to stand in honor of Harper May. Members of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care Harper May Brown, whom this day we recognize as a member of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live that she may grow in the knowledge and love of God through our Savior Jesus Christ? With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that this child, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, we give you thanks for Harper May's precious life and for her loving parents, Alex and Amber, and all of their family. Bless and keep them now and forever in your blessed peace. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. On behalf of the church, there are a few gifts we'd like for you to have. An infant testament, and of course, the certificate of baptism.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Worship this morning. There was between. the cross you came and broke them down. You broke them down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name. To have a new member here of the Asbury family, right?
Yes.
Speaking of yes, Valera, let's sing our next song. Yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God who never fails will not fail me. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. Is working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. One thing, the
Actually, this morning, I have a very special friend. If all my children friends will come sit right here. Her name is Miss Joan, and she is going to talk to you this morning.
Good morning. Hey, I got something to show you. Have you guys ever seen one of these? Have you seen one of these? What are they called? What's it called? Yeah, a picture album. Do you see your parents carrying around these? What are these? Yeah, they're photos. Do your parents take pictures of you? Yeah. All the time. Why do you think they do that?
To remember that moment.
To remember that moment? And do you think they ever show their friends?
My grandma does it all the time.
Oh, does she? Well, I'm a grandma and I do it all the time too, so that's okay, right? No? Well, we do that because we're proud of y'all. We're proud that you're our children and that you're our grandchildren. But you know what? When Jesus when Jesus was a little boy, do you think that God, his heavenly Father, was proud of him because he was his son? Yes, he was. But we didn't have phones. We didn't have picture books, photo albums back then. We had to remember it. And we remember, yes, we remember, exactly. And we found out about all of this because of stories in the Bible, right? So there was one time, the little baby that was just baptized. There was one time when Jesus was baptized too. And he wasn't a little baby when he was baptized. But when he was baptized, do you know how God showed that he was so proud of him, that he was proud he was his son? He sent a spirit like a dove down, and then a voice from heaven said, "You are my son in whom I am well pleased." So God wanted everybody to know that he was proud of his son too. So we're lucky that Jesus came to show us how to live so that God will be proud that we're his children, right? So let's pray and ask God to help us all be his children and be somebody that he can be proud of, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming and setting an example for us. Thank you for showing that God is proud of us just because he loves us, that he loved us a long time before we ever loved him. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our example and for showing us how to live so that people can know that you're proud of us as your children. Thank you for all your blessings. Guide us through this week. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and continue worshiping with us as we worship our Lord and Savior, who has a beautiful, a powerful, and a wonderful name.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Sing that again.
What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the ghost of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated.
It's always that wonderful time when we as a family of friends and church members get together and come to God in a moment of prayer. Prayer that means so much to all of us. You'll notice the names of the persons in the bulletin that we have listed that especially need our prayers. And we always want to offer a praise to Anita Curtis, has been on the prayer list for a long time. She was able to come back to worship today, so we rejoice in that. And we had two saints who transferred to the church triumphant this week. We lost Pat Yancey and we lost Marilyn Thompson. Many of you will know that Bob and Marilyn Thompson have been a very special part of our church family for a long, long time. They are without sight. And Bob is doing as well as you could expect in the loss of his precious wife. But please hold the families of these persons, especially in your heart now, as they grieve the loss of their loved ones. Let us pray. Most loving Father, as we come to you in prayer, first of all, we're so very grateful for the gift of prayer, how our thoughts, our feelings channel from our heart to yours in this thing called prayer. Father, we do lift up these persons we have mentioned by name, and we know that your Spirit is alive and well and comforting each and every one. May our prayers that we are praying on their behalf and on the behalf of others also be sources of strength and comfort. And Father, we pray for those who are still going through illness, those who are awaiting test results, those who are waiting for that job to come through, those who are trying to finish up school. So many things are going on in the lives of people. So many hopes. So many transitions. But that is life. And so in this life, you give us Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, to help us not only sustain in our lives, but grow in our lives. Not only to cope in our lives, but serve through our lives. So God, we thank you for giving us Jesus. We pray for those who are out there in their various ways of service to protect our freedom to worship. We pray for them especially. And Father, on this day when we have recognized the beautiful life of Harper May Brown, the rejoicing of new life, it is our prayer that through the songs sung, the words shared, the holy word read, the fellowship of your Holy Spirit among these people of God, that all of these things will nourish our spirits and rekindle new life in our faith. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the Holy Spirit. Now, amen. Yesterday, we had the planning retreat that we have annually, every January. It was a lovely time to invite the Holy Spirit to be among us as we thought about things that we'd love to envision happening in our church, but we always know it's for naught unless it's God's vision. And we celebrated some things too, things that have been accomplished. And so many things that we lifted up, if not all of them, but so many of them that we lifted up was due to your faithfulness in your giving to Asbury Church. So thank you for that. It's going to be a great year again. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, you have given us so much. And it's just a joy to give back to you now and to step back and see your will and your way go to work with our gifts. So God, bless these gifts to the growth of your kingdom this day and forever. Amen.
Before this, the offertory, I just want to say something. Churches are full of imperfect people, amen?
Amen.
And sometimes that's hard to kind of balance, right? But you should feel at home here. Home is also full of imperfect people. But, you know, a lot of us are going through transitions, you know, starting back to school, doing all that. Life can get busy. You face obstacles, both big and small, and it can be tough and overwhelming. But, you know, our God is greater, and as long as you stand in his love, which is the title of this next one, there's nothing that can ever, ever, ever bring you down, right? And it doesn't mean life's going to be easy or perfect or even fun at times. But he's never going to give you more than you can handle. And you hear that, it's easier said than done. But in this place here, you're safe, you're around imperfect people, but people that care about you. And I really appreciated the people that came yesterday to the planning meeting. We have a really committed congregation here. We have committed members. And God's doing really good things here at Asbury. And I'm excited to be a small part of that. I just want to thank you and just know that as long as you focus on him and his love, things are going to be fine. So this is called Stand in Your Love.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, well, I won't be shaken, no, I
Lord God, please be with Pastor Mary today as she comes forward. She talks about baptism, what it means to you, what it should mean to us. And God, just be there with us in these moments that sometimes you feel further away, sometimes we feel alone. And just help us to remind ourselves that as long as we stand in your love, we'll be okay. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
This morning, as always, it's my joy to share with you from the Word of God. Today, we're going to the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. Looking at a couple of verses there as we think about the baptism of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you brought your Bibles, or if not, follow along on the screens and hear this word of God, that it may bless your heart and give you understanding. Again, Mark 1, 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, of which I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. So it is baptism of our Lord Sunday. Have you ever asked why baptism is so important? I mean, sometimes if there's someone visiting the church and they start attending a lot, and they want to visit with me, maybe one of the first questions will be, well, have you been baptized? Because before you become an official member of a church, it's a natural thing to be baptized first, to experience what it is that Jesus Christ gives us through baptism. So, this baptism thing, where did it all start? Well, John the Baptist offered a baptism for sinners. Repentant, confessing sinners would come to John the Baptist and he would baptize them as they received forgiveness of their sins. But now, wait a minute. We just read that Jesus Christ was baptized. Jesus Christ wasn't a sinner. So what are we to think about that? It's interesting, for any of you that are Facebook friends with me on Facebook, I do a daily devotional. And today, this morning, and it, granted it was like 5:30, and I was doing my devotional, and our dear family member, Richard Duncan, pointed out to me later on, hey, you may want to edit your devotional, because you said, now, Jesus was not a non-dinner. And so I wrote back to him, have you seen it? I wrote back to him and said, okay, maybe he was a non-sinner and not a non-dinner. But then you got to remember the Pharisees really tried to serve him up and eat at him a lot, you know. So I don't know about that. He may have been a non-dinner. Okay. But our Savior Jesus Christ is so extraordinary. Never does anything in the ordinary way. Never does what we would expect. That's because he's the Son of God. And he's got the most creative mind and heart of anyone ever created. And so he gets baptized. But I want you to know and think about this. Jesus Christ in the span of his life, okay? And so the span of his life is he lives, teaches, breathes, loves, preaches, heals, ministers, educates, instructs, everything among sinners. He dies a barbaric death reserved for the harshest of sinners and criminals. So in baptism and in death, in life and in death, it is important to Jesus to be among sinners. Perfection amidst imperfection. Purity amidst impurity. Jesus' baptism also identified with Israel. For if first and foremost, besides being the Son of God, Jesus was a Jew. And he was representative of Israel. And Israel and all of Judea and Jerusalem came to be baptized by John at the River Jordan. And so hear this word in verse 9 again. Jesus came from Nazareth and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. In doing this, don't you see, Jesus felt it important to join all of the obedient believers in coming to receive baptism and coming to be prepared for the kingdom of God. But there's more. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. It says the heavens split open and the Spirit descended. Now this is reminiscent of old Israel in the prophecy Isaiah, the 64th chapter, the first verse with these words. When God opened the heavens and descended, he brought his presence among his people. God's presence among his people in the Isaiah prophecy and in the Spirit of the living God at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Now, why do I go to all this trouble to tell you all this? Because it is through this story, my friends, we enter into our own baptism. Let me explain that a little further. Jesus' baptism was the first Christian baptism. I mean, you know, Christ. So he was the first Christian baptism. It gives us glimpses into our own, because what did Jesus experience? He experienced the water. He experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he experienced the presence and affirmation of God, his Holy Father. God expressing a loving relationship with his child. That is our baptism too. When we are baptized, we experience the water. We experience the love and fellowship of the Spirit of the living God. And we experience God's love for us, God's unconditional love, grace through baptism. Now, in the United Methodist Church, we have baptism, and we will offer it to an adult, to an infant, to a teen, to a child. And this is a little tidbit. We will also offer baptism by immersion. I mean, I have used a jacuzzi or a swimming pool. We will do it through pouring. We will do it through sprinkling. So in the United Methodist Church, we believe it's important to begin this journey of life as soon as possible by the joy of baptism. The joy of baptism. Because hear what Jeremiah, the first chapter, the fifth verse says. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Affirming that God has loved us. God has been with us the whole time. Even before we were born. God knew we were going to be born. God blessed our being born. And God blesses our living. But hear this, that at Christ's baptism, God affirmed Jesus Christ and said, "This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased." Why did God say that? Have you thought about that? Of whom I am well pleased? You know, somebody says, "I'm really pleased because, you know, I like what you did with this project." Or, "I'm really pleased, you know, a parent to their child. I appreciate you taking care of your things." Jesus hadn't begun his ministry. That statement is there for you and I to know that God does not wait on us to get better to love us. God does not wait on us to do something grand to love us. God loves you, and there's not a thing you can do about it because he has loved you since the beginning. Loves you now and will love you forever. That is the unconditional love. And there is Jesus being commanded by God. And he hadn't even begun his ministry. You see, it wasn't about Jesus being good. It was about God's goodness. Isn't that a blessing? That God loves us when we know we haven't been so good that day. We haven't liked what we've thought about. We hadn't particularly liked what we've done. We hadn't particularly cared for what might come ahead that we know that we might or might not handle very well. It's about God who is good. And Jesus identified with other sinners who were there, who were coming to repent of their sins and receive the water for the forgiveness of their sins. But Jesus didn't need to be saved about anything. Scripture doesn't teach baptism saves you. How can I say that? Look at what happened in the middle of the night when a secret disciple named Nicodemus came to pay Jesus a visit. He was a secret disciple because he was an important member of the Sanhedrin Council. It wasn't a very politically correct thing to do to come hear this man that everyone was talking about, this controversial prophet, so to speak, and preacher. So Nicodemus stole in the night to come see Jesus. When he did that, he said, "Rabbi," because he esteemed him as a teacher. "Rabbi, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" In other words, live with God forever. Be loved and in love with God forever. What did Jesus say? "You must be born of the water and the Spirit." The water or amount of water isn't what saved you. Remember Peter? "Oh, Lord, don't wash my feet. Give me a bath." Jesus said, "No, Peter, you don't understand. It's not the water that cleanses you. It's the repentant, clean heart. It's wanting and desiring to have a life grounded in Christ." Unconditional love through God's grace. Simply stated, baptism begins the journey receiving God's grace. This is why we baptize infants, to begin their journey from the get-go. And it's a threefold commitment. You saw in person, in motion a while ago, a threefold commitment. The Lord was here as I presented Harper May. And God, as loud as he could, said, "Oh, Harper May, I love you. I knew you were coming into this world, and God bless you, and I do." And then the parents, they took a vow. "We will live as an example before Christ for this child. We will teach," you saw the vows, "we will teach and live a home where Christ is alive." And then you stood up in honor of Harper May, and you vowed You made a vow that you will live before her as an example of Christ. You will be careful of what you say. You will be careful of what you do. You will make sure that all that you say, do, and think reflects the love of Christ. That's what you promised. That's what I promised. Threefold covenant. John said, repent and believe. Jesus said, follow, repent and believe. Follow. There's an old story about two businessmen who were on an airplane flight together. And, you know, they, like so often you do with your seatmate there, you'll strike up a small conversation. Unless you don't want to talk to anyone, you bury yourselves in your iPad. But anyway, so these two fellows were striking up a conversation. And the older man said to the younger man, said, are you traveling on business or pleasure? And the younger man said, well, actually, I'm coming home on my honeymoon. He says, well, where's your wife? And he said, oh, she's a couple of rows back. Oh, well, let me move and we'll exchange seats. And he said, no, that's okay. We've been together all week. I mean, I share that ridiculous story to say we treat our faith in Jesus Christ a bit like that at times. We're a bit complacent. A bit complacent and take for granted the greatest gift given to us in our lives, that of eternal life and salvation and love and grace in Jesus Christ. So baptism as well as renewal of baptism is a great way to remember God's love for you. Your relationship never grows old. When Jesus Christ was baptized with sinners, it was a witness to God's unconditional love. Christ did that in a baptism of humility. Hear Matthew's words of the same incident of Jesus being baptized in the third chapter, the 15th verse. Jesus said, allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus humbled himself in obedience to God. Jesus did this because God requires it. God requires living in obedience to him. And that's the part of the deal we really struggle with. This obedience part. Reading the word. Doing exactly what it tells you to do. Every day we need to be in conversation with God, like, felt like I did pretty good today, God, on being obedient. Or the next day, well, Lord, I slipped up. I pray you'll forgive me. I mean, we need to be in conversation with God about this obedience thing every day. So, this is unconditional love. Now, when I read Philippians 2, 6 through 8, wow, it really speaks to me. Jesus, who existed in the form of God, listen to that. Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had become a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, I want you to think about this. All right, the word says, who existing in the form of God, Jesus. Jesus was of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus was of God. Jesus was God coming down manifest in his only Son. So, if you're God, you're exalted. You're full of glory. But read what the Scripture says. None of that for Jesus. He emptied himself of all of that glory. He humbled himself like a lowly slave. My goodness, he was even sold for 30 silver coins, the price of a slave. Jesus lived out this humble servant thing to the hilt because that's who he was. That's who he is. He's humble. And we have to take on that baptism of humility ourselves. We live in a world that says, go as high as you can go, make as much as you can make, buy as much as you can, live in the greatest place, drive the greatest car. I mean, go, 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 go. And you're not successful if you don't. That just doesn't match up with humble faith. Humble faith says, okay, we want your needs to be taken care of. We want you to be comfortable, but you've been blessed. Give. You've been blessed. Do. And do and give and do and give some more. So here is Jesus giving us This wonderful example of emptying himself, becoming humble, when all the time he could have lived it up in glory. The only time that he was really glorified while he was in human form in walking on this earth was when he was transfigured on the mountain. And that was God's way of giving him a little taste of what was to come. And he would sit at the throne of God the Father. In that conditional love, Jesus was not only experiencing a baptism of unconditional love, not only of humility, but one of commitment. This launched Jesus' ministry eventually toward the cross. He knew it was coming. But for 3 years, unwavering in that commitment, he taught, he healed, he led, he instructed, he guided, ministered in every moment and every way. Finally, Jesus' baptism was a baptism of identification. He affirmed John's ministry and identity with the people that he'd come to save. Again, what I said when I was first beginning, Jesus chose to be among the sinners, the greatest, the least, all the sinners. He had a baptism of identity. He wanted to be there with the people he was born to save. His mission to save. Identity is very important. Our new little grandson, born on December 11th, his name is Camden, named after my hometown. And I'm going to make sure he knows about the glory days of Camden. I'm going to make sure he knows about the Southern pride they have and the fine people. And I'm going to take him by my home church so he can see where his Emmy was baptized, where his Emmy was confirmed, where his Emmy was married. I'm going to show him that. And I'm going to drive him by the revitalized ammunition plants now that my parents, his great-grandparents, that was their job in the 40s over there across the river. And their grand-godmother in the Reaganomics of the 80s working out there at BEI, Vault, all of that. Yeah. I'm going to make sure he knows about the roots of his heritage. So with identities being so important, Jesus took the act of baptism with each of us, God's unconditional love, intentionally identified amongst sinners, and the need to humble ourselves, repent, believe, and commit. That, my friends, is what baptism is all about. So, if you were baptized as an infant starting this journey, and you're my age or older, you'll be glad you have some pictures of the day. You may even have some reel-to-reel film footage. Okay. Or you'll have people that were there, members of the family, and they could sit there and they can tell you, oh, yeah, yeah, the preacher put the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on you, and you burped. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. I imagine a little fella named Ben Abbott will remember this story. The day I baptized him, the parents saw it'd be grand if it happened on Easter. Sure, it'd be great. New life, new baptism, new faith. So I take the baby, and his little leg catches on an Easter lily laying on the rail, and it topples over with a big thud. Now, the choir's behind me and a little over, and they can't see, and in unison they went, they thought this mother had dropped a baby. Oh, ye of little faith. There are stories about your baptism. Share them. Find someone and share them, and delight in them. And give thanks to God for them. Because the final thing I want to say is, with intentional identity, there's two things that are very, very prevalent, very important. The first is selflessness. Our baptism of humility in Jesus Christ, this humble servant, tells us, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And the final thing is, again, that unconditional love. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he washed the feet of his disciples. Two of those feet were of Thomas, who doubted him. Two of those feet were of Peter, who denied him. Two of those feet were of Judas, who betrayed him. But two of those feet were of John, who loved him. Let's face it, at times in our discipleship, we doubt, we deny, we betray, and hopefully, more often than not, we love. Your baptism is so important that the church universal believes it's important to have a day set aside in the Christian calendar to remember your baptism. And so as I invite the launch band forward to lead us in our final song, I'm going to offer the bowl of water and for you to remember your baptism. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, I'll share with you, when my girls went through confirmation class, they had been baptized as infants. And I tell this to the confirmation classes each year because they will have some members who've already been baptized. And I said, well, let me tell you something. One of the joys of my ministry was when I confirmed my girls. I didn't baptize them. Tony's dad, who was a Methodist minister for over 40 years, he did that. But when I confirmed them, I offered the bowl of water and had no idea what they would do. Okay, there we go. I didn't coach them or anything, but I just gave the bowl and watched. The older daughter, Katie, took the water, cupped it in her hands, and trickled it down as if she was remembering how it felt to be sprinkled. The younger daughter, Kara, patted the water like it was her friend. She patted the water and then ever so gently touched her head, her forearm, and her heart, as if Jesus be in my mind, my strength, and my soul. I've never been more proud or more impressed with the spiritual life of my children. So today, as we come and remember our baptism, you remember it in whatever way is helpful to you. But I do encourage you to come forward and remember it. And please linger at the prayer rail as long as you'd like as we now stand and sing our closing song.
Have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind. Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Sing that again. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, you won't tear down.
God has given us the water. God has cleansed us in that water. God has loved us through the waters. Now may we carry that spirit of the water with us now and forever. Amen.